Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, the end of yet another crazy, wild week here, and we're going to be looking back at the events of the last few days here. As always, if you want to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room today, twiddling the dials and answering the phones. And so when you call him, be sure and say hi to him because our control room guys are overworked and underpaid. And a little bit of pats from the listening community that they're doing a really good job back there would be welcome at this point. And I knew you were going to agree with me on that one, Matt. So anyway, getting back to the news here, obviously another wild week on the Dow, mostly up. And the corporate media and presenters and people like Jim Cramer are definitely celebrating and waving the pom-poms, and they're trying to sell the idea that this represents the bottom of the market and it is only up from here. I would like to believe that they're right. I don't. I'd like to believe they're right. But the market really is supposed to be about earnings, and what we're seeing here is a lot of speculative buying. We're still in this gambling mentality with Wall Street, and they want to try and drive the prices up so that they can sell out and do a bump and dump. And there's a very interesting video, speaking of Jim Cramer, there's a very interesting video about him floating around on the net. I just relinked it to my page, whatreallyhappened.com. Now, there is a concerted effort to get this video taken down off the net. Unfortunately, the reality of the internet is once something is out there, there really is no taking it back because it's always going to be spreading faster than the lawyers for the aggrieved party can chase it down. And so it's still up there today, and I linked to it. And basically, it's Jim Cramer admitting that he makes his money manipulating the market, talking up a stock and then that he owns and then selling out. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, of course, Jim Cramer was on Daily Show this last week, and apparently the interview went so badly for Jim Cramer that MSNBC has instructed all of their producers to not reference it, don't use it, don't insert clips from it, just let it go. I'm sorry, CNBC. My mistake. CNBC. They're just saying, let it go, let it go. It's time to let this one fade away because they're getting the worst of this deal. Now, speaking of The Daily Show and MSNBC, when I got up this morning, I turned on the TV, and MSNBC basically led with, I mean, as soon as the TV came up, they were reporting that a California man has set a record by continuously drumming for 100 hours, and they had a video of this guy just sitting there with his sticks and wailing away, and then they followed up with Jennifer Aniston maybe getting a divorce and how terrible they're an on-again, off-again couple. And if you agree with me that news is that which actually affects your life, then I've come to the conclusion we're getting more real news from The Daily Show than we do from the news networks. Because when you go into The Daily Show, I mean, they're talking about the government and the corporations and the people whose actions actually do have an impact on our life. And so it's rather amazing. And I know I've noticed the other supposedly real news networks are trying to catch up to The Daily Show and Colbert Report by putting more comedy into the show and putting more tabloidism, trying to get their audience back. But the bottom line is, if the real self-proclaimed news channels wanted to get their audiences back, and they want me to shut down my website and my radio show, which I gladly will, spend the rest of my life chasing my lovely Claire around the condo, all they got to do is tell the truth. If they tell the American people what the American people need to know about what their government and corporations are up to, the audience would come back. But waving Jennifer Aniston at the public isn't going to bring back their audience numbers. It hasn't worked so far. And we have people like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert out there, and they're supposed to be an entertainment show, but we're getting more of what we need to know from them. Just tells you how topsy-turvy the whole corporate media has gone. All right, moving right along here, and I know we've got 2 hours today, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. All of a sudden, actually, I'm going to jump to another story because one of the people in our chat room really wanted to talk about this. There has been yet another audio tape released by supposedly Osama bin Laden, in which he comes out and makes a statement about, well, the usual stuff. Make war, be fearful, be scary, great Satan. I almost don't listen to these things anymore. They stopped showing his face because of all the embarrassment with the fake tapes before. I noticed that the news story that I linked to whatreallyhappened.com, the photo they've got of Osama bin Laden is at least 10 years old, maybe more, probably more like 15. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me, but the voice that we're told is Osama bin Laden on that tape is starting to sound an awful lot like Stephen Hawking's wheelchair to me. So I'm not sure, you know, how much we should trust this. Actually, we shouldn't trust it at all. The media and the government have been caught creating fake Osamas before, and there's no reason for them to stop now, especially since the real one died back in 2001. So they're still trying to wave Osama at us. They're still trying to find something that will scare the American people into psychological dependence on the government. And you know something? It isn't working, because what we are most afraid of is the government itself. And you know something? You keep people afraid long enough, the fear burns out, because fear takes a lot of energy. You can't keep people afraid permanently. Sooner or later, they just reach a point where they can't feel it anymore. It's totally, the neurotransmitters are totally exhausted, and they stop being afraid. The anger, on the other hand, remains. And I think we're basically getting to that stage, because I walk around my everyday life with these T-shirts that we sell at our store, and more people just come up openly agreeing with the sentiments on the shirt. And, you know, I used to be very careful to conceal my political activism from my day job, because there had been, and probably will continue to be, backlashes, such as, I mean, going all the way back to the McCarthy era. Anybody in Hollywood who doesn't go along with the status quo can lose their career. And there have been more than a few bumps on the road for mine because of that. But these days I just wear the shirts, and actually people come in and say, ooh, I want one. Where do I get it? And let me put it this way. My Christmas shopping problems for this year are already solved, because everybody's getting a T-shirt. But the point is, people are getting angry, and they are speaking out. They're not afraid of speaking out anymore. That's one of the most wonderful, wonderful signs that I could see out there, where just ordinary, everyday people, they know it's gone wrong. They know the government is just putting the screws to them. They're angry about it. Now they're just waiting for that initiating event where everybody's anger unites together, like we saw in Romania. And then there will be tremendous changes in this country. I hope it can be happened, can be accomplished. I hope the transition can happen without a lot of violence and bloodshed, like we saw in the USSR when the USSR collapsed. There was relatively little bloodshed, and that's definitely a consummation devoutly to be wished here. But there's a change coming, because unfortunately the government and corporations have committed themselves to a certain path which cannot last. It simply cannot last. So, yeah, they're trying to find something to scare us with. They're trying to create a reason for a war. And I noticed the other day they backed off of Iran. They're no longer saying that Iran's reactor fuel is a problem. Iran is at least 5-10 years away from building a nuclear weapon, even if they want to, and there's no indications that they want to. And so we're obviously backing away from Iran. We're starting to put more pressure on maybe a new war in Pakistan. The United States is a nation in search of a war. They're desperate to find one. Now we're putting pressure on China, which is absolutely amazing. Now, I don't really think the U.S. is intending to go to war in China, but I noticed that about the same time China starts expressing concern about the value of all these dollars they're hanging on to, that we start sending these surveillance ships into China's territorial waters. We're claiming it's international waters. China says it's their territorial waters. We've been down this road before, where the lines on the map are different on different maps. And they say, ooh, golly gee whiz, we were in the wrong place. And now we're sending a destroyer in there. And I think we're playing a little brinksmanship to try and get China to maybe float our loans a little bit longer. All right, that's the end of this segment. We're going to take a break here. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Matt is still in the control room. He's feeling lonely. Grab the phone and give us a call. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America, and welcome back to our show here. And if you're wondering what that roaring sound in the distance was during the last segment, it's still there a little bit. We're under a real torrential rain right now, which was a bit of a surprise because the last couple of days the weather has just been beautiful and sort of like what the tourist authority wants you to think Hawaii looks like all the time. But it is really coming down, and even though our hurricane season does not officially start for another 2 months, over there on the mainland, you guys have got four seasons. We're a little deprived. Out here in Hawaii, we've only got two. Rainy and hurricane, and the hurricane season is still 2 months away, but looking at the weather satellite photo, we have a tropical storm just to the north of us, which is showing a very obvious cyclonic shape, and one of the, if you will, the arms of that is sweeping over us here on Oahu right now, and that's the noise that you're hearing. No, it's not the Chinese retaliating for our destroyers in their territorial waters. That's a little bit further to the west of us. Right now. Anyway, I was watching some of the debate going on in our little chat room that we have over at whatreallyhappened.com, and they're talking about China and why the press. And the bottom line is, the United States does have a long history of getting out of some of its economic problems by attacking and destroying the people that we owe money to. And then in the aftermath of the war, we demand war reparations. And basically it's a way of going in with a gun and saying, you thought we owed you $100, I'm sorry, you owe us $100 now, and start paying up. And it just goes on from there. And so all these countries that we conquered send us money, and then we turn around and send it to Israel. Why? I still don't understand. Because we, the United States, are the nation that spent our blood and our money to stop Hitler from completing whatever it was he was trying to do. And there does seem to be a certain lack of gratitude coming from Israel to the United States. In fact, they act like for some reason we still owe them something, and I don't know why, especially considering that most of us alive in the United States today haven't been born when all of that World War II stuff happened at the first half of the last century. Anyway, for those of you who prefer to live in the present, moving right along, this stem cell debate, they're trying to fan this all over the corporate media, and they're talking about, you know, the moral understanding and the moral implications of harvesting stem cells, and it's beginning to look like a manufactured debate. And the reason is very simple. We have already seen several stories confirming that stem cells can be harvested from sources other than aborted embryos. There has been work done where stem cells can be found in placental fluid, you know, the materials attendant on birth that are discarded anyway are a source of stem cells. And there's a lot of these different venues out there. Now, the other issue I want to point out, and this is probably going to anger a lot of people, but morality is not an absolute. It is as subject to the fashion of the culture in which it is found as anything else. Now, there are a lot of things that we all agree are moral positions, including not murdering your neighbor because they backed their Range Rover over your rose bed the other day, not stealing, not lying. Those are moral concepts. Obviously, our government doesn't agree with those either. But other cultures have different moralities, and they place different emphasis on different things. For example, had you been a Viking, you could not get into Valhalla, their equivalent of heaven, unless you died with a sword in your hand. During the Unholy Crusades, Christians were told that they could not get into heaven unless they had gone to the so-called Holy Lands and killed a bunch of people. And so what we deem to be morality or moral changes depending upon the needs of the ruling elite and the culture in which we find ourselves living. Now, there's a lot of commonly accepted morality, which obviously I agree with. The aforesaid, let's not kill, let's not steal, let's not lie. And coveting thy neighbor's property actually is kind of a waste of time. I've got better things to do with my life than worry about whether their flat panel TV screen is bigger than my flat panel TV screen, if I actually had a flat panel TV screen. Actually, I have a little itty-bitty one here in the office that I used to watch the corporate propagandists. But yes, in our living room, we have one of those classic antique glass tube thingies that sits there and makes a very loud hum from its speakers. Finest American manufacturer you can find, but I digress. This issue over the stem cells, I think it has gone from being a serious concern to being something that is being promoted as something for Americans to argue about, rather than allow Americans to decide for themselves what is important. And that's a big part of what the corporate media is trying to do. They're trying to convince you what you should be worried about and say, oh, you shouldn't be worried about this over here. The most obvious example, you shouldn't care what happens to the Palestinians. You should worry about what happens to stem cells. Or Jennifer Aniston. Or this guy in California who, even as I speak, is still beating his head with a stick on his drum set. And I know I'm going to get a lot of nasty emails about that, but morality is a matter of fashion. There is no absolute universal morality. Look at the history of Fiji. It was considered moral to eat people who showed up on your island. And it had nothing to do with diet. It was a religious observance. So, anyway, and again, this gets back to this latest audio tape of Osama bin Forgotten. It's just a manufactured distraction because they don't want you to be looking at certain other areas, like the fact that Pakistan's puppet regime is on the verge of collapse right now. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones here right now. We're going to go to Renee in North Carolina. Aloha, Renee. Welcome back to the show. Always a joy to have you on the air with me. And what's on your mind today?
Well, I want to expand upon something you mentioned, how you'd be glad to drop your radio show. You know, I don't think people really realize how much they're stealing from us, the time we have to spend battling these predators. You know, it's obvious that when they take our money, which is the fruits of our labor, we have to spend more time working and have less enjoyment time because they take it for themselves. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we have a limited amount of time on this planet.
That is
and
true.
When we have to spend our time battling off these predators that are kind of keep nipping us. You know, it's like a wolf just taking a little bite at a time.
And, or a leech.
You know, the thing is, they've stolen from us the freedom to live our lives in truth and peace. Mm-hmm. The freedom to just live our lives how we want because we have to constantly fight them off. If somebody kind of thinks about that for a minute, it becomes really profound. Like, say, the veteran that has to spend, you know, years fighting for benefits, the person who fights for years through the legal system trying to get justice only to never get it. The thing is, this is going on in tens of thousands of households across this country where the people who we pay to do their job don't do it, and they are having devastating consequences on people's lives.
Okay, Renee, we got to pause here. Please stay with us when we will come back to this topic after these commercials. So we're going to take a break here. This is What Really Happened Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Rivero. The phone number is 800-259-9231. We will be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just trash yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking with Renee in North Carolina. And Renee, I want to give you kind of an interesting little statistic. We're talking about how much work, how much money, how much of our blood is harvested off by these vampires that live off of us. In ancient Rome, slaves were expected to, first of all, take care of themselves and then take care of their owners. And the ratio of time spent taking care of themselves working for themselves and working for the owners was about 50-50. By an interesting coincidence, that was the same ratio of work for self, work for the lordships that the medieval serfs suffered under. And in the antebellum South, again, the amount of time slaves worked to sustain themselves, because they had to grow their own food as well as whatever crops were being taken by the plantation owners and sold, it was, again, it was about 50-50. 20 hours a week taking care of yourself and your family, and 20 hours a week taking care of the owners. Now, get out all those tax forms that most of you are still working on here as we head to the last few, unless you're filing for an extension. But look at those tax forms and add up all the different taxes. It's broken into little tiny pieces to kind of hide the fact. But if you add up all the taxes that you are paying to all levels of government, you come back to that same ratio of half the time you are working for yourself and the other half of the time you are working for the governmental masters. But remember, the terrorists only hate us because we're so free.
Yeah, and that's why I hate that whole public servant thing. They try to make it look like they're serving us. But you see, and I have to be very careful how I say this, because if people take it wrong and twist it, but I know you're smart enough to get this. In some ways, I'd prefer they just shoot me. Because instead what they do, you know, science knows more and more about the psychological and physical toll, being exploited and feeling powerless and everything it does to a person, both physically and mentally. It's kind of like, instead of being humanely just shot, they continually just leech as much as they can of us to die a kind of slow torture death. It's kind of like if you had a choice between being shot between the eyeballs or having like your kneecaps broken or whatever where you can't move and they leave you on the side of the road to be peeing on yourself and having your tongue swelling in your mouth, but dying of thirst slowly, which would you pick? The thing is, in many ways,
I'd shoot them. That's my choice. I'd shoot them.
Yeah,
I'd break their kneecaps.
But you see, this is the deal. These people that claim to be serving us, okay, or in reality, you know, by making us feel powerless, taking our resources, bleeding us dry, having us continually under the stress that affects family life and our health, the thing is, that way they get to hide from the fact that they're true murderers, okay? But they're just doing it, they're doing it, it's the death by a thousand cuts for the quality of life that they are robbing from every one of us.
Okay, and this gets back to the issue I said before about morality is not absolutely fixed, because from their point of view, they see themselves as leaders and masters of their society, and they see this tithing of money and goods and services that flows toward them as their natural right. I've heard this many times among certain religious fanatics. Wealth is the sign of the elect. If you've got a lot of money, it means God favors you. You are the chosen ones. And I'm not talking just about the Jewish faith. We've seen this through a lot of the evangelical Christian ministries that are just raking in the money. And they're saying this is the sign of God's love, that we're getting all of this good stuff. But in the end, it comes down to those who've got the power and the absence of morality to do so see the rest of humanity as just a huge herd of animals from which to harvest something of value. And you know, me, I'm one of those people where I think all humans are pretty much more or less equal the same. And so I have a hard time exploiting other human beings around me, which is why I'm going to, you know, die broke. But there are other people in our society, we call them sociopaths in the most extreme case, who see other people as simply something from whom something can be gotten by means both fair and foul. And so it's not that they're trying to deliberately inflict harm on us, and they're not going to shoot you as long as they think you're useful for something. But it's all about the idea of everybody being free to decide their own lives versus this slaver mentality where somebody thinks all of humanity would be better off if they're controlled and directed by me. And they can call it New World Order or the Third Reich or globalism, but it's still a slaver's mentality with themselves at the top of this huge governmental structure that enslaves the rest of the world to their will. And immediately they'll start building pyramids to their own greatness and honor, and you know, we'll set civilization back 4,000 years in a single stroke, I think, if this globalism thing actually comes about.
Yeah, and is their incredible ability to rationalize? That's one of the things that wakes me up terrified in the middle of the night. It's like, mm-hmm. They have the most incredible ability to rationalize that it mm-hmm. freaks me out.
Oh yeah, they'll wrap it up in their religion, or they'll wrap it up in all kinds of with control of the funding for research, they'll go out to sociologists and anthropologists, and they'll get all kinds of scientific papers that says what they're doing is really the best thing they could do of all. I mean, look at the whole, almost all of the current liberal political agenda can trace right back to Margaret Mead and her book Coming of Age in Samoa, and this one book became the foundation of the justification that if you control every aspect of a person's life, you will be able to create a better human and a stress-free human and a happy human, and you can re-engineer the human being by re-engineering society around him. And that is the doctrine at the heart of the whole liberalist movement. We know now that Margaret Mead's book was a complete hoax. It was an intellectual fraud. But the anthropologists who deify her and the liberal political establishment will never admit that, because that's the entire foundation on which their agenda to tinker with our lives in the minutest detail is based. And
we're caught in the middle, though, because on the other side, John Dean wrote a book, Conservatives Without Conscience, about the authoritarian personality. And God knows those authoritarian personalities, which tend toward the right, have incredible rationalization skills.
Renee, I got to call bovine excrement on you on this one. Or bull biscuits, that's the phrase I should be using. I'm going to call bull biscuits on this one, because this idea of a political spectrum that is left and right is kind of a false dichotomy, because the real political spectrum, as perceived by the ordinary people, is a spectrum that goes from all the way total freedom and anarchy on one end to total dictatorial control on the other.
We don't disagree. You said the left. And I said, yeah, but it's on both sides, so we're caught in the middle. In other words, we're getting the wall squeezed in from either side, no matter which way you look at it. So I don't see the disagreement, because you said the left first, so I had to say the right in order to make the point that we're being squeezed from both sides.
Okay, well, maybe I misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah,
I apologize for that. But the point I'm making is, you know, the world really does break down into two kinds of people. Those who think that human beings should just be kind of left alone to live their lives, and those who think people should be controlled. And the people who want to have control over others will find whatever niche, left or right, best suits them to move that agenda forward.
Right.
It really comes down to a spectrum between total freedom and anarchy on one side and total dictatorial control on the other. Ideally, you find something in the middle where there is some control over society to limit destructive behavior, and other than that, you just leave everybody alone. I think the founding fathers of this country had that 200 years ago. They had a good balance between the two. Right now, of course, our country has just gone almost all the way into total tyranny. Great Britain is the same way. I mean, they're just totally watching us with computers. Renee, we're going to let you go.
Bye.
Let you go here, but bye-bye. Thank you very much, and call in again. Always a joy to have you on the show. Okay, we're going to take a break here and have some commercials. Call into the show, 800-259-9231. Yes, it's still pouring rain outside. I don't think we're going out for travels after the show. We'll be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Last segment of hour number one of our show here. And a lot of stuff to talk about. Speaking of what really happened, and of course that song by Thanaya Crone that we use as bump music on the show is talking about 9/11. But another terrorist so-called incident is back in the news again, the Pan Am 103. There continues to emerge more and more evidence that in that case, too, we were all lied to, that it wasn't Libya that brought down the airplane with a pound of Semtex inside a Toshiba radio. And, boy, maybe I ought to open up this Toshiba laptop and take a look just in case. But apparently, there have been some studies about just how much Semtex it would take to destroy a 747 from inside the luggage container, which is where this radio was supposed to have been. And no matter where they place this 1 pound of Semtex, you know, they put it right over against the edge and right against the, you know, where it's closest to a load-bearing member, and they still couldn't get it to cause the kind of damage that it would take to bring the airplane down. That's the 747 is one of the best-built airframes in the world. They're going to last forever. They're incredibly durable, unless they get hit by a missile or something like that. They're very, very difficult to break. So they started increasing the amount of Semtex, and they did not get the degree of damage necessary to bring down a 747 until they had gotten to 30 pounds of explosive. Obviously far more than you could hide in a Toshiba portable radio. And so whatever happened to Pan Am 103, it is not what the corporate media told you it was. That plane was brought down by a third party, gee, I wonder who, and the blame put on Libya in order to destroy political relationships between the United States and Libya, to demonize them and make them an enemy suitable only for bombing and invasion. And this gets back to the false flag theory of covert operation, which we have seen repeated time and time again, going all the way back to the bombing of the King David Hotel, which was carried out by Israelis dressed as Arabs, the Levant affair in the 1950s, in which Israeli agents were bombing British and American assets inside Egypt and planting evidence to frame Egyptians for it. Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, which had they succeeded in sinking the ship, it was Israel screaming, "Egypt's killing your ship. They're bad people. Go there." And according to some reports, there was a nuclear-armed airstrike already on its way to Cairo when the real identity of the attackers of the USS Liberty finally got out, and the whole operation had to be scrubbed and then covered up. We know that the only people actually arrested on 9/11 itself, the so-called dancing Israelis who were cheering and high-fiving as the buildings came down, some of them turned out to be Mossad agents. We know that our own government has classified all of the evidence that links these arrested Israelis to 9/11. That was admitted on Carl Cameron's four-part news story about the Israeli spy ring that had been discovered just before 9/11 happened. The largest foreign spy ring in U.S. history being run by our so-called friend in Israel. Speaking of our so-called friend in Israel, apparently during a protest over the in this village, in fact it happened yesterday, Friday the 13th, in Nilin village, where an American citizen was part of a protest over these demolitions. Again, Israel is simply demolishing Palestinian homes and putting up Israeli homes in complete violation of international law and the UN Charter and various UN resolutions. And this American there was taking part in the protest. The Israeli forces opened fire on the protesters using tear gas canisters and actual live ammo. Some of the people were shot in the legs with real bullets. The American citizen was hit in the head with a tear gas canister and is in critical condition. Might actually die from this. And this kind of came and went. The corporate media in this country, if they mention it at all, I haven't seen it yet, if they mention it at all, it's being downplayed. And I bring that up only because had it been a Hamas police officer that shot an American citizen in the head, what do you think the corporate media and U.S. government would be doing right now? I think the reaction would be considerably different than when it's an Israeli shooting an American citizen in the head. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things we are supposedly paying our tax money to the U.S. government to do is to protect American citizens around the world. That was the reason and justification for having these 700 military bases around the world, is to establish an American presence to protect American interests, which I thought included American citizens. And yet here we have the government of Israel shooting an American citizen in the head, and it's no big deal. And that, I think, indicates that something is seriously, seriously out of whack there. All right, getting back up here to the top, we're almost out of time on this hour, and we talked about those things here. Getting back to Swindler's List, Bernie Madoff had his day in court this last week and basically pled guilty to everything. And a lot of people are wondering why he just pled guilty to everything, because they built a strong case that he was mentally unbalanced, that the emotional stress of a lifetime of living with the horror, the horrific memories of the Holocaust had deranged him, and how could he really be a criminal when he'd helped found the NASDAQ? And they build up this whole case to get him off the hook, and he goes into court, and he confesses to everything, and the judge says, well, we can no longer give you the presumption of innocence that allowed us to leave you out of jail on bail, and you're going to have to go into jail. Now, I'm sorry, but Bernie Madoff openly confessed this, they now estimate it's $65 billion swindle. He openly confessed it in the media, everywhere. How do we have a presumption of innocence that allows him to live in his multimillion dollar penthouse all this time till now? He should have been in jail from day one. If you or I walked into a liquor store and held it up for $100, we'd be in jail that night, despite a presumption of innocence, in theory. And already, Bernie Madoff's lawyers are trying to get him out of jail because he doesn't like it there. They make him get up at 6 in the morning. They make him go play ping pong at 8 after breakfast. Then they make him have lunch. Then they make him watch TV in the afternoon. And they make him go to bed at 11 p.m. There are some of Bernie Madoff's victims who are homeless on the streets right now. And Bernie Madoff has a guaranteed roof over his head and 3 meals a day. Talk about how messed up things are. But his lawyers are trying to get him back out, saying he's not a flight risk. Just because he stole $65 billion and they caught him sending some of his wealth to destinations unknown in other countries without extradition is no reason to think Bernie Madoff's going to leave. I have a lot of my readers and listeners writing in saying that they expect Bernie Madoff is all of a sudden going to develop some serious health problems and he's going to pass away, much as the way Ken Lay passed away after the collapse of Enron. And there'll be a very quick cremation, and that'll be it. Bernie will be off playing canasta with Ken Lay for the rest of his life. Obviously, I think they should have him in jail. They should keep him in jail. Because we're learning that there are more and more of these investment banks and brokerages that went out and did these pyramid schemes. And they all have the same excuse. We just did it as a temporary thing during the economic crunch, and we thought when things got better, we could square the books and everybody'd be fine. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and we couldn't get out. It's a very flimsy excuse, and I will tell you why. Anybody who really understands economics knows that the reason the economy went into a decline is corporations were shipping the high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries with the encouragement of the U.S. government. And because that trend was never reversing, and because our country isn't actually making that many products that other people want to buy, there was no way for the economy to come back. And so these crooks entered into these pyramid schemes to make themselves a little bit richer, knowing it had to fail down the road. You're not going to tell me Bernie Madoff is a dummy when it comes to the economy. He's heading NASDAQ for a good part of his life. All right, that's the end of hour one. We're going to stop here for some news. We'll be coming back and talking about more news and your phone calls and other goodies, and hopefully the rain will let up around here. So until the other side of the news, aloha, America.